The sixth parak focuses on those blemishes that will invalidate the bechor from being brought as a korban, and accordingly it would be permitted for the kohen to shecht it immediately. It becomes chulin meat for him. So this is actually based on psukim, and the major concept here is that in order to invalidate a bechor, to make it a balmum, to consider it a blemished animal, it has to be that the blemish is permanent. It's not going to heal itself. For example, if you have just a little cut in the skin, that will heal itself. That's not a permanent blemish. And also, that permanent blemish has to be visible. It has to be visible on the outside of the animal. So both of those conditions are required in order to invalidate this bechor from being brought as a korban. Or at the time that we don't have a base of mikdash, we wouldn't bring a korban. It would just have to wait in the field until it has this type of mum, and then it would be permitted for the kohen to shecht it and eat as chulin. So Mishnah Aleph says as follows: Al elu mumin shochtin es habechor. These are the mumin, the defects that a kohen would be permitted to immediately shecht the bechor, because it is now a baal mum and he can eat it as chulin. And we're going to see, focus now in this Mishnah is the ear. The next Mishnah will focus on the eye, and afterwards Mishnah Beis and Gimel will be focused on the eye, but here we're going to focus on the ear. So we're going to see four different possibilities. Al Eilu Mumim Shochtin as a Bechor. Number one is Nifgama Ozno Mina Schus. Schus is cartilage. And if we have nifgama, the word nifgama means some of it is missing. So if some of the cartilage of the ear is missing, that would invalidate the bechor. Avolomina, or it's not sufficient that some of the skin be missing. Skin on the outside of the ear is something that will regenerate. That would not be a permanent blemish, a mum kavua. That would be a temporary blemish. So that is number one. If some of the cartilage is missing, and number two, nistika af al pi shlochasra. Again, we're talking about the cartilage, and nistaka is that there's a cut in the cartilage, and even if none of it is missing, just that cut, it's not going to regenerate. That would also invalidate this bechor. Number three is nikva milo karshina. Nikva is a neck. If there's a hole in the cartilage, and it is the size of a karshina. Karshina is a type of plant. It's a bean plant that is used for food of animals. And it's tiny. It's a very small amount. So any hole, any neck of in the cartilage will invalidate that bechor. And number four, oshiyavasha, or the ear has dried out. And now we're going to have to explain what that means, dried out. How dry does it have to be in order to invalidate this bechor? Ezohi avesha. What does that mean, that the ear is dried out such that it is no longer a bechor that is tamim, that is unblemished? It's now a blemished bechor, and it can be eaten by the kohen for its ordinary meat as chulin. So we're going to have a machlokas on this. Two opinions. Kol shetinake ve'eno motzia tipas dam. As long as you would puncture a hole in it, for example, you use a sharp item, a sharp knife or something, and no blood would come out, which means that the body is not sending any blood to the ear. That is really dried out, and accordingly, that would be a bechor that is no longer valid. Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam Omer, he has a stricter standard. It has to be even more dry than that. Yevesha shetehe nifraches, which means it has to be so dry that if you touch it, if you're handling it, it would crumble, it would deteriorate in your hand. That is how dry it has to be in order to invalidate this bechor from either being brought as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash or sitting in the field. If we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, sitting there in the field waiting for the mum, any of these would be considered mumim that would invalidate that bechor. Mishnah Beis discusses blemishes that are, first we'll talk about on the eyelid, and thereafter we'll start talking about blemishes in the eye. So when it comes to the eyelid, the Mishnah says as follows: Reis shel ayin, that's the eyelid. It can have one of three possibilities. Each of them would invalidate the bechor. Shenikav, it has a hole in it, that's a neck of a hole in the eyelid. Or shenifgam, which means it's missing. There's some of the eyelid that is missing. Or shenistak, which means there is a cut. Even though there's nothing of it missing, in all of these three instances, whether it's a hole or something is missing, or just a simple cut, even without anything missing, the bechor would be disqualified. And now we're going to move to the inside of the eye. Hare be'enav dak, if there is a dak, which is a cataract over the dark part of the eye. The eye is actually made up of three parts, and this will be important for us. And the inside is the black part, that's the pupil. And around the pupil is the colored area, that's the iris. And outside of that is the white part of the eye. So here again, we hare be'enav dak, if there is a cataract over the dark parts of the eye. Tivalul, we'll see shortly in the end of the Mishnah, we'll explain what this is. It's a white streak that enters into the colored part of the eye. So it goes from the outside of the eye, and it goes through the colored part, which is the iris, and enters the pupil. So there's white that goes all the way into the pupil. That's the Tavalul, and we'll explain that shortly. And Chilazon Nachash, let's look at the Bartanur on this. He says Chilazon is a snail, a Nachash is a snake. Now, if we think about a snail that doesn't have its shell, that is going to be like a slug. It's going to look very much like a snake. So Hainu Chilazon, Hainu Nachash, this is really the same defect, the same blemish. So why are we calling it both? It's a Chilazon, it's a slug, so it's like a line. And we're calling it a nachash, a snake, because it is spotted like a snake. And what this is talking about is we have a growth of skin that is spotted. It's a growth of skin that looks like a snake, and it goes over the dark parts of the eye, and it's spotted. So that would be a blemish. It disqualifies the bechor. And similarly, ve'enav sounds like anav, which is a grape. And in fact, it is talking about a growth of skin that is shaped like a grape, and it goes over the colored parts of the eye as well. So all of these would disqualify the bechor. Now just to get back to what is that ve'ezehu tivalul? What is that white streak that we said is a disqualification as well? So now we're going to distinguish between a disqualification that comes from the white of the eye and enters into the colored part of the eye and then into the black part of the eye, the pupil, and the reverse. As follows, Lavan haposek besira v'nichnas b'shachor, the tavalul, which is the invalidating defect, the blemish for the bechor, is when you have white, a streak of white that enters into the sira, which is the iris, that's the colored part of the eye, v'nichnas b'shachor, and from there it goes all the way into the pupil. So we have a white streak that goes from the outside all the way onto the inside. That is going to invalidate the bechor. However, bashachor, if you have the reverse, you have black coloration that comes from the inside of the pupil and goes out through the iris, that's the colored part of the eye, into the white. That is not going to invalidate the bechor as follows. Bashachor, if you have black, a black streak, v'nichnas b'lavan, and goes through the eye, it goes through the iris, and goes into the white part of the eye, enomum, that is not going to be a blemish. That's not going to disqualify this bechor. Shein mumim b'lavan, there is no mum in the white part of the eye. If we look in the Bartanura as follows, enomum shein mumim b'lavan, if you have discolorations, etc., in the white part of the eye, that is not going to be viewed as a defect. Why not? The lav ayin hu elishuman ayin. That's not considered part of the halachic part of the eye that will cause a blemish. The white part is simply looked at as fatty tissue, and accordingly, any discoloration, etc., would not be a disqualification in the bechor if it's simply located in the white part of the eye. However, white going into the dark part of the eye, that is going to be a disqualification of that bechor. Mishnah Gimel continues to describe various blemishes that are in the eye of the bechor, and we're going to see two. The first one is chabarvad, and the second one is vahamayim, and the word hakvuim is modifying each of those as follows. Chavarvad, if it is kavua, and mayim, it is if it's kavua. Now we'll explain what each of those are outside, and then we'll see it inside the text of the Mishnah. So chavarvad are white spots that are located in the darker parts of the eye. So if those are permanent, that is going to be a blemish that will invalidate the bechor. And also mayim, which tears, hakvuim, so their permanent tears keep coming out, getting in the way of the ability to function. So that is also going to be a permanent blemish. So now we'll define both of these. Ezehu charvava rakavua. What is this talking about? These white spots that are permanent. So it has to be there for a certain amount of time in order to invalidate it. It could be that it came and it goes. It was not permanent. So you have to test it. Kol shesha shmonim yom. It means it was there for 80 days. Those white spots were there for 80 days. That is going to be the blemish. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus Omer, he says you have to really check fact that it was there for the entire 80-day period, because if it came and went, even if it's there at the beginning of the 80-day period and at the end, but it wasn't there in the middle, that is not going to be the permanent blemish. So what you have to do is bodkin oso shlosha pehamim b'soch shmonim yom. You have to test it three times in the 80 days. Approximately every 27 days, you're going to check to see if those white spots are there. If they were there at the beginning, the end, and during those test days, then that will be the blemish that will disqualify this bechor. And now we're going to get into the second one of those mumim ve'eluhem mayim hakvuim. What is this mayim hakvuim, these tears that keep coming out? How do you test it to see if that it is a permanent blemish? So what you have to do is you have to feed that bechor certain foods at certain times and see if that blemish indeed goes away or not. If it is not cured by this the feeding of this specific food, then you know it is a mum kavo, it's a permanent blemish. And it's as follows. This is the test. Achal lach v'yaveshal geshamim. You have to take produce from a rain irrigated field. So it's a field that lives on rainwater. It doesn't need to be separately irrigated. And you fed it the wet produce, the moist produce, we'll explain this shortly, and the dry produce. And the reverse is not going to be a test. Lach v'yavesh al shlachaim. If you test it from wet and dry produce of an irrigated field, or achal ha'yavesh v'achachach achal alach, or you reverse the order, and even if it's from a rain field, a field that exists on rain, is not irrigated independently, but you reverse the order and you fed from the dry produce and afterwards the wet produce, ain't a mum. It's not going to be considered a mum because that is not the test. What we're trying to do is we have to follow the instructions. We have to take the produce from a rain-watered field, and it has to be in the order of the wet produce and the dry produce. And if that doesn't fix it, if that doesn't fix the tears, then we know it's a mum kavua. But in the absence of doing this test, we're not going to be able to define it as being a mum kavua. Ad sheyochal hayavesh achar halach. It has to be that the dry produce is eaten after the wet. So wet first, dry then. So let's look in the Bartanur, what's going on here. Lach hagadel ba'adar v'chatzi nisan. We're talking about when is it wet? The produce is fresh and moist. That's talking about it grew in the month of Adar and the first part of Nisan. So it still has the rainwater that is keeping it fresh and moist. And the avesh is after the summer. So that is what grows in Elul and half of Tishrei, so that is going to be dry. So from that field, we're going to have to feed it from the first, the moist that is grown in the before the summer, and then the dry after the summer. And after having fed the animal both of those, the tears have not stopped, then we know that it is a permanent blemish and it invalidates the bechor. Mishnah Dalet discusses when we have defects in the nose, lips, and the teeth of the bechor, and it will tell us which of the mumim will disqualify that bechor. So the Mishnah starts out talking about the chotmo. The chotem is the nose, and we're talking about on the outside, because these mumim, these blemishes, have to be visible to someone who is viewing the animal. So chotmo, that has one of three problems. Shinikav, that has a hole in it. Shenifgam, that is missing part of it. Shenisak, that is cut. So that is all on the outside of the nose. And moving over to the lips, vaso, that has the same three blemishes. Shenikva, that has a hole in it. Shenifgama, that is missing part of it. Shenistaga, that is cut. So that's the lip. And now we're moving to the teeth. Chitaya hachitsonos. So we're talking about the outer teeth, so you can view it on the outside. Shenifgamu, that are missing teeth. Or they have become very worn down from use. So either of those are going to be visible from the outside. Vapnimios, if it's the inner teeth, it has to be more significant of a mum shene ekaru, that they were uprooted. So it's missing those teeth. So that could be seen from the outside. Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus Omeri disagrees with the last point when it comes to the inner teeth. En bodkim min hamatimos v'lifnim. You don't have to check from the molars and back from the molars. That's not going to be visible from the outside. That's not going to be considered a defect. Af lo es hamatimos. And even the molars themselves, even if they're missing, that is not going to be considered a defect. Mishnah Hay discusses when there are defects, permanent defects that are visible on the reproductive organs of the Bechor. Nifkam Hazovan, that's talking about the sheath that holds the reproductive organs of the Bechor, talking about a male. A Bechor only can be from a male, so part of that sheath is missing. It's not going to grow back, so it's a permanent blemish that can be viewable from the outside. And now the Mishnah discusses a female. It's not talking about a Bechor. It's talking about when you have a female animal that has been consecrated to be brought as a korban, a non-Bechor, for example, a Shlamim, and where is there a defect when it comes to a girl, a female animal's reproductive organs, or area shall nekeva b'mukdashim, or if on her erva, that is the reproductive area, but you can see it from the outside. Again, it has to be visible and it has to be permanent, so if part of it is missing and that can be seen, then that is going to disqualify it from being brought as a korban. And now we're going to move to talk about the tail of the Bechor. We're going back to discuss the Bechor. And there are actually three different blemishes that are listed out that will be viewable, visible, and permanent. So nifkam hazanav mina etzem, if the zanav, which is the tail, it is missing a part of the bone. So it's like a vertebrae in the back. So there are bones that connect along the way with gaps in between them. So the same thing when it comes to the tail. So nifkam hazanav mina etzem means not that it's missing some of the flesh or missing some of the skin, but it's actually missing at least a piece of bone from the actual tail. That is going to be number one of alomina perek. It's not going to be a mum. It's not going to be a blemish if it's just missing like soft tissue or cartilage that would be between the joints of the bone. So that's not going to be a blemish. It has to be the bone itself. Number two, oshahaya rosh hazana mafsil etzem. There are two different explanations of that. Either that it is missing, the tip of the tail is missing so that the bone is exposed, or it means that the tail splits in two at the end. So that is, well, those are both going to be permanent and visible to people. And number three, oshiyesh basar ben chulia lechulia milo etzba, or there is a break, too wide a gap between the bones, literally the vertebrae of the tail, that they are a distance from each other of one finger breadth. So that's approximately a little bit less than an inch. So those are supposed to be closer and they are further apart from each other. These are permanent blemishes that would invalidate the Bechor. Mishnah Vav discusses additional blemishes in the reproductive organs of the male Bechor. A Bechor can only be male, so we're talking about in male reproductive organs. So Mishnah Vav says as follows, and it's going to be a little bit complicated. We'll have to look at the Bar Tanura. Ein lo beitzim, literally, if he has no testicles, or ein lo ela beitz achas, or if he only has one testicle. Let's look at the Bar Tanura. Manisin chasuri mechzer of ahachitani. There's text missing from the text of our Mishnah, and this is how it has to be read. Ein lo shtei beitzim b'shtei kisin. If he does not have two testicles in two separate pockets, typically there are two separate pockets, a divider and a testy in each of them, so it doesn't have that. Ein lo shtei beitzim b'shtei kisin ela b'kis echad. He has two testicles, but they are in the same pouch. That is ein lo beitzim. He has two testicles in one pouch. And inami, the second case is inami shnei kisin ubeitz achid. It does have two separate pouches, but only has one testicle in it. So those are the two cases that we are dealing with. And we'll see shortly that the second case here, when you have two pouches but one testicle, that's going to be subject to machlokes. Rabbi Shmuel Omer is going to disagree with that second case. Im yesh lo shnei kisin, yesh lo shnei beitzin. If you have two different pouches, you know that there are two beitzim, there are going to be two testicles, one in each of them. That is going to be the situation. So he's disagreeing with the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama says that you can have a situation of having two separate pouches with only one testicle in it, and Rabbi Shmuel is disagreeing. If you have two pouches, you know there are two testicles, and he's agreeing with the Reisha, as we'll see now. Ein lo ela kis achad. If there is only one kis, if there's only one pouch, ein lo ela beitz achas, there's only one beitz. What he means by this is that if you only have one pouch, even if you have two testicles in it, it's as if you only have one testicle. So that's agreeing with the Reisha, but disagreeing with the Seifa. Again, the disagreement in the Seifa is that if you have two pouches, do you have a psul or not if you have one testicle? So the Tanakhama is saying two pouches, is, and one testicle, that is going to be a psul, that is going to be a mum. And Rabbi Shmuel says, if you have two pouches, that's not going to be a psul because you're going to have two testicles in them. Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Rabbi Akiva is of the view in this situation. He is again talking about that sefer, the second situation in the Tanakama, talking about when there are two pouches and there's only one testicle. Rabbi Akiva, Omer, you actually have to do an investigation to see if you can find the second testicle, and only if you can't find it, then we are going to invalidate this bechor and say that the kohen is permitted to shechten and eat the meat at that point. But without the investigation, you can't say that there is a mum yet. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Moshiva al Akuzo, what you have to do is you have to sit that bechor, that animal, on its behind, umimaech, and what it's going to do, it's going to expose the reproductive organs, and what you have to do is you have to squeeze around in that area in search of the second testicle, imyesham beitza sofalatse. So if you do find it, it's going to come down into the pouch, so then you will have two pouches, and not only with one testicle, but you have two pouches with two testicles in it. But in the absence of that, either you cannot find the second testicle, or it doesn't come down. Maybe you'll find it later, as we'll see shortly in the safe of the Mishnah, but you didn't find it at this point. So at right now, we'd have the decision, according to Rabbi Akiva, because you cannot find the second testicle, that is a Baal Mum, and it is an invalid Bechor. Maaseh, there was an occurrence that happened, Shemiech, that indeed the person, there was two pouches and only one testicle, and the person followed the instructions of Rabbi Akiva, or Rabbi Akiva was following his own instructions, so his own Ashita, and they put the animal sitting back on its behind, and they squeezed around to find the second testicle, v'lo yatzad, and didn't come down into the second pouch, v'nishchad, and the decision was, we're going to shecht it, it's a balmum, v'nimtzeis devuka b'ksalim, and after shechita, they found the second testicle inside, it was internal, it had not come down into the pouch, they found it next to the loins, inside the body of the animal, inside the body of the b'chor, v'hita Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva permitted it. In other words, Rabbi Akiva is following his shita, that if it did not descend after doing his test, after doing the investigation, it did not descend into the pouch, that is a balmum, and even if you find it subsequently after the shechita, it doesn't matter, it failed the test or it passed the test, it is now a balmum, and even though it was on the inside, this is an invalid bechor, and accordingly where it says v'hita Rabbi Akiva permitted the kohen to eat the meat, because it is not a valid bechor. On the other hand, va'asa Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri disagreed, he was of the view, now that we have found the second testicle, even though it was on the inside of the body, we see that this was not a bechor, that was a Baal Mum, and accordingly, it's not permitted to eat the meat anymore. So we don't have the heter of it being a Baal Mum. Mishnah Zayin discusses blemishes in the legs of our Bechor. Baal Chamesh Raglaim, if our Bechor has five legs instead of four, or She'ein Lo Ela Shalosh, or it has only three legs instead of four, V'sheraglav Klutos Kishel Chamor, or if the feet are rounded like that of a donkey, and this is the case even if the hooves are split, but the feet are rounded, not like a kosher animal, that is going to be a blemish as well. And two additional ones, V'shashachol V'hakasul. What are those? So we'll explain right now. Ezehu shachul. What does that mean, that the animal is shachul? Shenishmeta yirecho. It means that its thigh bone had slipped out of place, so it's come out of the socket of the hip. That is the shachul v'hachasul. Sha'achas miyarkos of gevor, that one of its thigh bones is higher than the other. So that is, again, a visible and permanent mum, blemish in that animal. One of them is at higher than the top of the loins. They should both be aligned with the top of the loins, and one is higher and one is not higher. So there is a distinction between the height of them, which is viewable. That is going to be a permanent mum as well. Mishnah Ches continues discussing blemishes in the leg of the Bechor, Nishbar Etzem Yado, if the bone of the front leg is broken, Ve'etzem Raglo, and the, or the bone of the back leg is broken, afal bishenu nikar, even if it's not viewable by somebody. And what this means is, we've said that to be a mum, to invalidate the bechor, there are two requirements. It has to be visible, and it also has to be permanent. So here we're saying, even though it's not visible, what it means is, by looking at the animal, it's not visible, but it is visible when you see how that animal works. So we will be able to tell that there is a defect in the leg by how that animal is working. So that is considered visible. Mumi me'elu mana ayala bayavna. Ayala bayavna, we refer to him earlier in a masach as being a major mumcha, a major expert when it comes to the blemishes of an animal. So he included these two on the list of blemishes that invalidate a bechor. V'hodu lo chachamim em chami chamim, agreed with him that these two are included on the list. However, v'od shlosha hosif, there were an additional three that Ayala, who lived in Yavna, added to the list of defects. Amru lo, however, chachamim, for those three said, lo shamanu et elu, we did not have a mesorah, we do not agree with these three. And the reason they didn't agree with these three is that they weren't viewable enough, they weren't visible enough, they weren't noticeable enough in order to invalidate the bechor. And the three are as follows: et shegalgal eino agul kishel adam, if you have that bechor animal and its eye socket is rounded like that of a human eye, not like how it looks like for animals, that's number one. Number two, upiv dome l'shel chazir, its mouth looks like the mouth of a pig, which means the upper jaw is longer than the lower jaw. It doesn't look like a normal animal, kosher animal. And number three, vishinita rov hamidaber shalashono, the major part of the tongue that is used for speaking. So that's the part that is not attached to the body itself. If the majority of that was missing, that would also be an invalidating mum, according to Ayala from Yavna. But Chachamim, as we said, disagreed initially. However, ubeistin shal achareihen amru, there was a later beistin, said harei elu mumin, they came around and they agreed with Ayala that these indeed would be invalidating mumim for a bechor. In fact, the Bartunura points out, v'chein halacha, this is how he's paskin, that these three indeed, l'halacha, will be invalidating blemishes for a bechor. Mishnah test is a follow-up of the prior Mishnah, where we saw that one of the psulim is an overbite. That's when the upper jaw juts out significantly over the lower jaw. That is the example of the pig, upiv dome l'shel chazir. So that is the example in the prior Mishnah. In this Mishnah, we're going to talk about the opposite. That is when there is an underbite. An underbite is when the lower jaw juts out longer than the upper jaw. The Mishnah says as follows, Maaseh shalechi hatachton odev ala elyon. There was an occurrence that the lechi hatachton, which is the lower jaw, it stuck out more than the upper jaw. That's an underbite. V'shalach Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel chachamim, and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel sent a question to chachamim: is this a mum to invalidate this bechor or not? V'amru harezim mum, and they paskin indeed that this is a mum. Continuing, ozen hagdisha isa kefula, we have an ear on one side of the head of the goat, and it was doubled over. So it's like a double ear, one inside the other, a smaller one inside the larger outer ear. Amru chachamim bizman shi etzem echad, chachamim paskin, and we're going to go with the Bar Tanura, that the ear was doubled and connected at the top. So when it has an etzem echad, literally it has one bone, it's talking about sharing one piece of cartilage, that is going to be a mum, that's going to be a defect invalidating it from being a bechor. Vim haisa etzem, vim eina etzem echad, but if it's not one cartilage but two separate pieces of cartilage, so it's not connected at the top, eina mum, that is not considered to be a defect. The Rambam has a different reading of that. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, when it comes to znav hagedishi dome l'shel chazir, if we have that gedi, we have a goat, but its tail looks like that of a pig. A pig's tail is round and not wide, so it looks like the tail of a pig. Or v'she'ein b'shalash chulias, when talking about the tail of a sheep, that it's not very long, so it has fewer than three little bones inside of it, literally vertebrae, but we're not talking about the spine, we're talking about the tail. Hareza mum, because it's such a short tail for a sheep, that also would be considered a mum, a defect. Mishnah Yud continues discussing various blemishes that will disqualify a Bechor. Rabbi Chanida ben Antigonus Omer, es shayabeles be'eino, if the animal has a wart in its eye, and it's also talking about when it has some hair coming out of that wart. Vishen nifkam etzem yado ve'etzem raglo. Nifkam means there's a piece missing of either its leg, and the yado is the front leg, or etzem raglo, or of the back leg. So some bone is missing from either one of those. Vishen nifsak asmo shebeviv, or the etzem again is the bone that is cracked. And it's talking about the bone in the mouth. It's the jawbone that holds the teeth. Or, eino achas gedola v'aschas ketana. There are two ways to read this in the Mephoreshim. Either one eye is big or one eye is small. So in other words, one of the eyes is normal and the other one is either super big or super small. Or the other way to read this is that both eyes are not normal. One of them is super big and one of them is super small. Ozno achas gedola v'achas ketana. When it comes to the ears, one is super large, one is super small. And when we're talking about large and small, bimare, it means when you look at it, it's obvious. I can see that there's a difference in the size between that ear and that ear. One is big, one is small. Avalobimida, we're not talking about that you have to measure it, and only by measurement are you going to be able to ascertain is there's a difference between the sizes of those ears. It has to be something that's obvious. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, another blemish, achas mi beitz of gedola kishtayim bechaverot, if one of the testicles is double the size of the other, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that is going to be an invalidating blemish. V'lo hodu l'chachamim, chachamim disagree, not fully with the concept. They are of the view that it has to be a bigger discrepancy between the testicles in order to invalidate the bechor. Mishnah Yud Aleph adds on another mum talking about the tail, and we'll see it's talking about when the tail is too short. This is going to invalidate the calf from being a bechor. It can't be brought in the base of Mikdash as a korban. It can immediately be used by the Kohen as chulin, as non-sacred meat. So just before we get into the Mishnah itself, we'll go through a little bit of the anatomy of the leg of a cow. In contrast to a human leg that has two parts, bottom part, top part, and a knee in between, the leg of a calf has three parts. The bottom part, The way bottom part is called the cannon bone, and above that is effectively a joint called the tarsus, the arcuva. That's spelled with an aleph. And then the second bone is the tibia, and then another knee joint. So there are two knee joints. The second one up from the ground is called the arcov with an ayin, the knee joint. And then the bone above that, that's the third part of the leg, is the thigh bone. So in a nutshell, we have three parts of the leg as opposed to two parts of the human leg. And because we have three parts, we have two joints, the bottom joint called the arcuva with the aleph, and the arcov is the second one up, that is with an ayin. So the Mishnah says as follows, Nava Egel, if we have the tail of a calf, Sheina Magas l'arkov, and it does not reach down to the arkov, which is the ayin. That's the second knee joint up from the bottom of the leg. Amru Chachamim, Chachamim, to buttresses, say as follows, Kol Marbis Ha'agalim Kein. This is the typical way all cows, calves, as they grow up, the normal way is that the tail will reach at least the arkov, that is the upper knee joint, kolz manch and magdilim hem nitachad. And when they grow larger, that tail will stretch below that knee joint. So the Chachamim are basically telling us that every calf, even from birth, that tail under normal circumstances is going to reach that top knee joint. And as the cow grows, as the calf grows into a cow, that tail will extend below that knee joint. But if it's above that knee joint, indeed, that is going to be a mum that will invalidate that bechor from being brought as a korban of this Beis HaMikdash. And just to clarify, because these two phrases for the knee joints, because we have two knee joints, the bottom one is called the arkuva, and the upper knee joint is called the arkov. So the Mishnah wants to clarify 100% to make sure that it's clear we're talking about the upper knee joint, that that tail has to reach the upper knee joint, and if it's above the upper knee joint, then it's going to be a balmun, and it's going to be a blemish. Le'eza arkov amru, which arkov, which knee joint are we talking about? Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus Omer, the arkov shebe'emtza yarach. We are talking about the knee joint that is in the middle of the thigh. The thigh is the top part of the leg. So accordingly, if we're talking about the knee joint and the top part of the leg, we're talking about the upper knee joint of the two knee joints of the cow. And now the Mishnah is going to conclude as follows. We've had a lot of blemishes that we've talked about throughout this perek, and the ramification of calling something an halachic blemish, it is something that is permanent, something that is viewable by people. Al elu mumim, on all the mumim that we have been listing throughout this parak, shochatin es ha bechor, we can shech that bechor. What it means is that it cannot be brought as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. We can shech that bechor as chulin meat, as non-sacred meat, because it has a disqualifying blemish for it. Upsule hamukdashin nifnim aleim, if we're talking about a non-bechor, but other animals that were sanctified to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash, so that's psule hamukdashim, puzzle, it's now invalid from being a mukdashim, from being brought as a korban. So we're talking about, for example, a shlamim, a ola, other types of animals that were to have been brought as a korban, but have these mumim that we have enumerated throughout this parak, so it can no longer be brought as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash, niftin aleim, they can be redeemed. When you redeem that animal, it becomes non-sanctified, then you would use the money to go and buy an animal that does not have a defect, that does not have a blemish, and that replacement animal would be brought as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah Yud Beis is going to list a bunch of blemishes that are not as significant as the ones that we have listed throughout our perek. So on the one hand, they are significant enough from our being able to bring that bechor, as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. So because there is some form of blemish that is somewhat significant, it cannot be brought in the Beis HaMikdash. On the other hand, because it's not overly significant, it's not as significant as the blemishes we've listed throughout this perek, we cannot immediately shech that bechor and eat it as chulin meat. So it's a little bit in limbo here. It can't be brought as a korban. It cannot be shechted as chulin. And accordingly, the owner, the kohen, is going to have to wait until it has a full-blown mum that will invalidate it from being brought as a bechor. And now we're going to have a whole list of these. Some of these are going to sound somewhat familiar. They're going to be similar to full-blown mumim that we have listed in this parak, but they're going to be somewhat less significant, as we will see. Elu she'ein shochatin alein lo b'mikdash. We're about to list the blemishes that you cannot bring the bechor in the Beis HaMikdash, because it has a blemish, so they have been invalidated. The bechor has been invalidated from being brought as a korban, as a bechor. However, also v'lo b'medina, because it's not significant enough, we can also not shech this animal and use it for regular meat. And we're going to go through the list now. Chavarvad. This is something that we saw before, but before we talked about a charvavad, that was kavua, that was permanent. That's that mum, that's the white spots in the colored part of the eye. And before we talked about it, when it was permanent there for a certain amount of time, it was significant, permanent. And now we're talking about charvavad, that is not kavua, it's not permanent. And also, the other mum that we saw is vahamayim. We also talked about the water, the tears that were constantly coming out. 80 days, we've got this going on straight. We checked, it kept on coming. Here we're talking about that there's these tears that are occasional. It's not that it's permanent, but it is sometimes. And continuing, the back teeth of the animal, they are nifkamu, they are missing pieces, but they have not been fully uprooted. We saw earlier in the parak that when they are fully uprooted, that is a full-blown mum. But here we're talking about that they're not fully uprooted, they're missing pieces. Accordingly, that's not a full-blown mum, and that's why it's the subject of this Mishnah and not previous. Uba'al garav, this is an animal that has a moist scab. Uba'al yabeles, that's a wart in the white part of the eye that does not have hair. We saw earlier that if there's a wart in the white part of the eye that does have hair, that is a full-blown mum. This has the wart but doesn't have the hair. Uba'al chazazis, that is a moist boil. Vizaken, it was a bechor, it doesn't have a mum, but it hit 3 years old, so it can no longer be brought as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. V'chola, it is sick, It's not well. It trembles. But again, it is not a full-blown blemish. Umizuham. It has a very bad odor to it. Vishne evda bo avera. It had an avera done to it. It means that it is an animal that had relations with a person. So that's an invalidating mum from being brought in the Beis HaMikdash as a korban. But again, it cannot be brought as chulin meat yet. Vishahemis as a adam. It killed a person. And now we have a problem with the technicality. Had two people witnessed it, they could go to Beis Din. We need two to give proper testimony, and they would put that animal to death. However, in this instance, Hamish as Adam al pi eid echad, it was only one witness that saw the killing of the person, so they don't fulfill. You need two people to be able to put this animal to death, but because it killed somebody based on one witness, it will invalidate this bechor to being brought as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash, or pi al balin. Or it was simply the owner that saw it. Again, we don't have full testimony of two witnesses. Accordingly, that Baal, that owner, can give testimony. It will invalidate the animal from being brought as a bechor in the Beis HaMikdash. But again, because it's not a full-blown blemish, it cannot be shechted as chulin yet. Vitumtum, this is an animal that has its reproductive organs that are hidden. So we cannot verify whether it's a male or female. A male would be a bechor. A female is not a bechor. A bechor can only become a male, but we can't get to those organs to check it out because they are covered up. Androgynous, this is an animal that it's not that its reproductive organs are hidden, they are unhidden, but it has both organs of a male and a female. Accordingly, if it were just a male, that would be a bechor. Just a female would not be a bechor, but it has both. So what do you do with it? Lo b'mikdash v'lo midima. When it comes to all of these that we just listed, all these quasi-blemishes that we listed in Mishnah Yud Beis, they cannot be brought as Nebeis HaMikdash, as a Bechor, because they have invalidating blemishes from being brought as a Bechor, but also they cannot be shechted as Chulin outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Medina, because it's not a full-blown blemish. And now we have a Machlokis when it comes to that androgynous that has both male and female organs that are showing. So how do we treat that androgynous? Rabbi Shmuel Omer Ein Mum Gadol Mizeh. It is indeed a quasi-bechor, but there's no greater mum. There's no greater blemish in this. Why? Because it has female organs. Accordingly, because it also has female organs, it cannot be brought as a bechor. A bechor has to be a boy, a male animal, not a female animal. But because it still has somewhat of the kedusha of a bechor, we look at it as a bechor, but it's invalidated. Accordingly, we have certain limitations on it. We are not able to do giza and avoda. We're not allowed to shear off its wool because this animal still has a certain level of kedusha. We're not allowed to work it. But on the other hand, because it still has the male organs, we are not able to shecht it as chulin. On the other hand, Chachamim disagree with the classification of an androgynous bechor. V'chachamim omrim ainu bechor at all. This is not a bechor whatsoever. Ela nigzas v'nevat. It can be sheared. It can be worked. This is not a bechor, and accordingly can be shechted as well, because by virtue of having the status of an androgynous, it cannot be qualified as a bechor whatsoever.